All right, we're going to go ahead and get started here. Isaiah, who you may have met at the door, he is my assistant for our Friday Night Simple Steps recovery program. So he's going to stand outside and see if anybody else wants to come in. And my wife is also there. My wife did a ton of work in building the program, like writing the material and all that. And so I pretty much came up with the plan of it, but she wrote a lot of the material. So, and it really, some people ask, well, why did you do it? Why did you come up with your own? We had been using another program for years, using Reformers Unanimous for a long time. And there was just some things that came out on the church. And the program that we decided we need to go ahead and separate from that. So we decided to do that, and I was super excited because there were some things that I thought, you know what, if we change these few little things, and Reformers Unanimous was definitely against that. They didn't want you to change things. So we changed things really to make it more new person friendly. That person that just comes in the door. And that, I think, is a big key when it comes to an addictions program is thinking about that person that comes in the door. Where are they coming from? They are probably not churched. So when they walk in the door and they're walking into maybe just another church service, they might be thrown off by that. So there were a couple things that we took out. Like, we don't do special music. We don't take an offering. We try to make, we try to separate that from an actual church service. Okay. When they're ready, one of our goals is to get them into church, but this is a stepping stone. We want to make sure we're not, being a church service when it's an addictions program. So we made a couple little different changes in it, and we've seen some great progress with it. So we're going to go through, really, this training module is to go through on how Simple Steps works, what a night looks like, why would you have an addictions program, different things like that. So, Sarah, would you mind, I want to pass out everybody just a piece of paper and a pen, just to make sure if you have questions. I want you guys to write those down, and then at the end, we will... I want to be able to answer those. We're going to have some time because while I'm talking, you will come up with some questions. And some of those might be answered throughout, but then some of them might not be. So we want to make sure that, make sure we answer those. Also in the back, Brother Murray, he is the one that, pretty much is in charge of signing you up. Anything that's online, ordering anything. So if you have questions about that, don't ask me because I know nothing about it. So talk to Mr. Murray, Brother Murray. And really, my part of it is the actual running of the program. I run the Friday night program. I know how all of that stuff goes. But anything online, sign up or anything like that, that would be a question for Brother Murray. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. What is the purpose of an addictions program? What is the purpose of an addictions program? So first was the foremost is show people who Christ is, right? Show new people who Christ is. I mean, think about all the other ministries that we have at our church. That's the foremost thing is show people who Christ is. Get them saved. That might not be the very first thing that happens when they walk in the door. Okay. We have to remember that as well. Remember why they came. They didn't come because they were wanting to get saved, right? They came because they realized that their addiction is out of control. Not because they have an addiction, but because that addiction has become a problem. Okay, people don't start an addiction thinking, "Oh, in 2 years from now, I'm gonna be in an addictions program." It just doesn't cross their mind. But now they realize that, oh wow, this is becoming a problem. another thing we need to realize is they love their addiction, okay? When you have an addiction, you love it. That's why you continue to do it. Many of them don't want to give it up, but they realize that it's ruining their life. So Simple Steps is a way to not so much make them quit or stop an addiction, but how to replace their addiction, how to replace it. You can, let's use smoking, for instance, you can smoke for years, years and years, and many people quit. They'll quit for a day, 2 days, 3 days, a week. But there's that hole, there's that void. And that void will be filled with something. Many times they go back to their old addiction. They go back right back to smoking, but maybe they'll pick up something else instead of that. What we want to show them is how to replace it. We want to fill that void before they fill it with something else. So fill that with a relationship with Christ. You'll earn their trust and be more effective with the gospel if you show them that you care, okay? We need to, honestly, we need to throw our pride out the window. Okay, we need to show them that they care. We're all sinners saved by grace. Okay, we're all sinners saved by grace, and it's a struggle. It's a struggle for them, and we want to make sure that we're being personable with them. We're not trying to lord over them. We're not trying to, be a parent and tell them what to do. We're there to show them Christ, and this starts as they pull in the driveway of wherever you have the addictions program at. Are there signs showing them where to go? Is there someone standing outside the door to greet them? Hold the door, say hi. Is there someone to bring them in and show them where the coffee is, the bathroom, where to sit, things like that. Addicts will be looking for an excuse to not be there, okay? So if they drive in and they can't figure out which door to go in, that could be their one reason. Oh, I tried, and they leave, okay? So you want to try to start checking those off the list. Okay, when they pull in, do they know exactly where to go? Is there someone at the door? Things like that. That all helps them to stay. Many people that are struggling with substance abuse have probably burned a lot of bridges, okay, with their family, friends. So us showing that we care goes a long way because they've already been they've already burned those other bridges, okay. When I was on vacation, I went on vacation a year ago, and we were in Michigan, and on vacation, we like to go to some other different churches. And we walked into a church Sunday morning, just decided to pop in. And the only person that said hi to us was an 8-year-old boy that was holding the door. Okay? So we want to think about that sometimes. Let's be that person at the door, okay? To say hi. Just to show them, a friendly face, okay? And that will go a long way. We have to show them who Christ is by our actions and being very loving. Show them right away that you care, okay? Another way to reach your community. This is another purpose of an addictions program. Another way to reach your community. We always want people coming to our church. We always want another avenue. Think about the different things we do as outreaches in our church. Christmas events, Vacation Bible School, all these different things. Simple Steps would just be another one of those ministries of our church, okay? Ministries of our church, just another way to get people in the door. Next, show the love of Christ to the hurting. People that are struggling with addictions need to know there is a better, more abundant life than the one they're living right now. And really, we know this, they don't know that yet, but only Christ can give them that true abundant life. And we want to really show them who Christ is. Mark 2:17 says, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Okay? So we need to remember that. Why did Christ come? Okay? They might be able to get out of their addiction through a secular program, but it's an abundant life that we want to show them. Okay? I know I talk about this a little bit later, but when you think of NA, AA, they work, okay? We're not here to say that secular programs do not work. NA, AA, they wouldn't be around if they didn't work, okay? But we want to give them a purpose after quitting, okay? Give them a purpose after quitting. We want to show them what it is to replace it. A lot, NAAA, a lot of those secular programs, they say, hey, bear down, grit your teeth, you know, don't drink. Well, when you keep telling yourself that, what are you still thinking about? You're still thinking about drinking, right? So we want to replace it. We don't want that to be in their mind. A big part of Simple Steps is not showing people how to quit their addiction, honestly, because another addiction is going to pop up, right? We want to show them how to replace their addiction. We think, if they quit drinking, their life's going to be so much better. Another addiction is going to pop right in. We want to show them what it is to have a relationship with Christ. That's what the whole curriculum, the whole program is to build that relationship. Because honestly, we're going to come up with another addiction. If it's not drugs and alcohol, it could be watching too much TV or whatever it is. There's always going to be another one. We want to show them what it is to have that relationship with Christ. Okay, bring people back to the local church. Many people that are struggling with addiction won't walk into a church, but for some reason, they'll walk into an addictions program at a church. I don't know how it works, but they do it. So that's why you're bringing them in. You're showing them where the door is. They're pulling into the parking lot. A lot of times they're seeing the auditorium. You know, they're seeing the church. It makes it much easier for them to come to a church service. The program is just another way to lead people back to the local church. Give a faith-based solution that is effective as opposed to secular programs. One thing that secular programs really say is that you're always an addict, okay? You're always an addict. I've been, you know, I'm an alcoholic. I haven't drank in 20 years, but I'm an alcoholic. Well, we're not always addicts, okay? Christ has saved us from that. Once you're saved, you will always be a child of God. That's something that we know for sure, okay? And that's really what we want to show them. Next, how your church can benefit from an addictions program. New people walk in your door. What more do you want? That is a big thing, to get new people to walk in your door. This isn't a save-all. This is what's going to fill your church in a week, a month, or ever. Okay. You're looking for that 1, 2, 3 people to walk in your door. It's another outreach. And you think about your Christmas events that you have. How many new people come in the door and how many people stick it out? Not very many. We're looking for that small percentage. And that's what this program hopefully will do, is bring that 1, 2, 3, 4 people walking through your door. It's going to take time. We have people that drive by our church. I don't know if you saw it, but we have that addictions program sign out by the road. We have people driving by. They've driven by. They'll come in and they say, oh, yeah, I've been driving by your sign for 5 years. And finally they came in. You know, so it does take time. It takes a lot of time. We have several people now, after doing this for 20 years, we have several people that come to our church, that they They were probably helping in the kitchen, serving food, helping with kids, and they came through the addictions program, and none of you would have ever known it. And that's what we want it to be. We don't want to separate them. We want them to be, when they start coming to church, we don't want, oh yeah, that's the guy that goes to the addictions program. No, they're a part of the church. And it's funny, we had a guy a couple of years ago do a testimony on a Sunday night, and he mentioned, yeah, I, you know, 11 years ago, I came through the addictions program, and there were so many people that were like, wow, I had no idea, you know, and that's really what we want it to be. We don't want to separate that. We want them to be a part of the church. Many times they turn from addicts to faithful, and the addiction is never even brought up again. And that's what we like, because Christ saved us from it. You know, we should treat them the same way. Build a personal connection with your community. This is a way that you can promote. Go to your courthouses, your judges. Let them know what you have available, and they will be promoting other things as well, and some of the secular programs as well. But you can promote it as in, hey, because got to remember. Judges and a lot of the judges, they aren't saved either. Okay. But you're proposing it not as a, oh, we want you to promote this instead of, you promote it as, hey, if they're looking for more of a faith based, or maybe you can sense that they're, that they would like more of a faith based, that they need some help with that. You can send them to our program. We have people coming that are doing community service hours. I don't know if you guys have ever had people call and say, hey, I got in trouble. I need to do some community service hours. That is another thing that you could promote through your judges as well, is we'll do their community service hours with them. And what we do is they come on a Friday night. They come a half hour beforehand, and they help us set up. Then they go through the program, and then they help us clean up afterwards. So they're only working for, you know, 2 hours maybe, but they're getting 4 or 5 hours. So they like that, you know. Oh, I don't have to go and stand and do dishes all night. You know, they're coming. We want them to sit in the meetings, go to small groups, all of those things, and they get all of that time added. So we don't. I hate refusing anybody that has community service hours, because I want them to come in. And many of them that would come, they get done with their hours, and we may never see them again. But then there's some that they keep coming. We've got one lady that's been coming for years. She had a ton of hours. I want to say she had. That's a ton of community service hours. That's a lot. So we're thinking, oh, wow, this person's going to be here for the next 2 years doing community service hours. Well, she got done with her community service hours, and she's still coming. And she,
next door in the ladies.
Yeah. I mean, she's great. She's got her two girls coming. They're helping out in the summer program. So it's those little things that you don't want to give that up. You don't want to say, no, I don't want to deal with the community service hours. I don't want to write the letter at the end that says, oh, they've completed this, and send it. You know what? It's all easy for a soul, you know, all easy for someone to come in. We had a couple guys from the high school who got in trouble, I think, for fighting, was it? Fighting at school. And they were 16 and 17 years old. They only had like 8 hours. So they only had to come for two Friday nights and be done with their program. But they came, we put them in the kitchen, and they had a blast, you know, just to get your name out there. But they're going to remember you. And especially if you're super nice to them, they're going to remember. We've had people come back years later and say, oh, you know what? I remember going to your Simple Steps program. And then they came back years later. So you never know. And let's say you never see them again. They heard the gospel, right? They heard the gospel. You're able to share the gospel with them. All right. Everyone has struggles. Where do they go? Everyone has struggles. People can come to you no matter what their struggle is. We We think of an addiction as any other problem that we might have, any addiction. We don't want to just take care of the alcoholics or just the drug addicts or just the people that are addicted to pornography, whatever it is. We want to cover it all, because you know what? That relationship with Christ can replace any of those things, okay? Turning an addict into a faithful church member. So this is another way that your church can benefit from an addictions program. I already kind of told you, but multiple people have come through our program that are here today, helping out with even the Grace Conference. What kind or individuals does Simple Steps reach? Here's what we are not. We are not an inpatient treatment program, okay? We are not a homeless shelter. This program reaches the functioning addict, okay? Don't bring addicts into your home to stay there because they don't have a place to stay. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but there's definitely boundaries that need to be made. Some people have different boundaries, but we would tell you, you know, don't open up your home for them to come in, and especially if they're needing a place to stay. Okay. Support is available for the whole family. That's why we encourage you to have a kids program, have a way that you can watch babies. We want that support for the whole family. When we say this program reaches the functioning addict, so what that means is you've lost your job, maybe you're about ready to lose your wife, but you're still functioning. You still maybe you don't have a job, but you have the capability of working. You know, we're just trying to say that. We're not an inpatient treatment program. We're not a homeless shelter. We find the inpatient treatment programs near you that you would be okay with sending them to. And guess what? You are probably not going to find an inpatient treatment program that believes biblically the way you do. Okay, it's very hard to do that. Many of them are state run, so You're trying to look for those ones that maybe have a Bible program inside of it, okay? Those different things. So it's hard. I know when we bring people to inpatient programs, we send them with materials, okay? We send them with a Bible, with things that they can work on in the you know, the 29, 30 day programs that they're in, okay? And I know some people would say, oh, well, you know, you just can't send them there. You just can't do it. Well, some people have been so focused on their addiction for so long that they need that 30 day of just of intense treatment to where they can be, they're almost forced to be off of it, okay? And they're not, They're gonna meet people. They're gonna hear cursing and swearing and how much they hate their lives and all that in there. But that 30 day of solid treatment of them not being able to use can be very important. Now, that a lot of times that is our last resort. We would love for them to go through the program and build that relationship with Christ and end up replacing it that way. But sometimes you may need to help them find an inpatient program. Addiction can happen to anyone from any walk of life. Okay, we have seen we've seen kids, adults, grandparents, very successful people, and it really can affect anyone. And we need to be open to that. When someone walks in the door and they're a firefighter or police officer, you know, that is now coming because they're struggling, you know, and you think, oh, these are supposed to be the people that help us, you know, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right. What qualifications do I need to run a Simple Steps chapter? What qualifications? You do not need to be a pastor, a psychologist, or a licensed therapist or counselor. Okay. I am none of these. And you don't need to be either. You do not need to be a recovered addict. My wife, who has never touched a cigarette, never touched alcohol, has helped, you know, a lot of ladies. It does not, you do not have to know what it is to snort cocaine to know how it is to help somebody with that. You do not need to know what that's like. And why is that? Because you're showing them how to replace it. You're showing them how to replace it. You'll have people that come in, say, who are, again, looking for an excuse, just like, I can't find the front door, you know. They'll come in like, oh, you can't help me because you don't know exactly what I'm going through, okay? You'll have those people that walk in and say that as well. And we're not going to try to, oh, well, I need to find somebody that knows exactly what they're going through. No, you're showing them Christ. You're showing them how to replace it. Another thing too I like to share is when I first started, and I've been helping with addictions programs for quite some time, and I used to think, oh, we need to mention less Christ, less God, and I realized that was the wrong thing to do within a month, because honestly, there are so many people who are out there that have already gone through the secular programs that they're looking for that next step. They're looking for that next thing that will help them. They want that faith-based. Many times you have somebody walk in your door, they've already done the other programs. They've already done them and it didn't work. You're giving them another option. You're giving them that next step. And many times that next step is a faith-based addictions program. So we are clear about that right off the bat, that this is a faith-based addictions program. And I tell them how it works right away. Every time they come in, when they sit down and we start our opening, we show you what it is to replace your addiction with a relationship with Christ. You have to tell them how it's going to work. Because then they think, oh, okay, replace, okay. Now I know how it works. Because when they walk in, oh, how is this faith-based thing going to work? How does it work? Tell them right off the bat. You know, we're going to show you what it is to replace your addiction with a relationship with Christ. Okay, what qualifications? A desire to help those that are struggling. A love for the Lord and the clear gospel. Patience and more patience. And this is where it can get tough. When someone goes 6 months clean and they end up falling right back to that same addiction. Look, it's, you know what you want to do? You want to grab them by the shoulders and shake them and say, what are you thinking? You know, got to have patience. It's hard. And it's hard on the people that are running the program when they see someone like that go back. But you have to have patience. You don't know what's going on in their head. You don't know, and you think, I failed them, you know, or did I not do enough with them? All those things go through your head. And ultimately the decision was up to them to do that. But you know what? You just keep having patience and you keep working with them. A non-judgmental attitude. We really need to put our feelings aside. Put our feelings aside. There are going to be things that trigger you. And I'm not talking about the addict. I'm talking about the workers. Trigger you to get upset or mad. You have someone that comes in that's an alcoholic, and you had a father that was an alcoholic. Okay? That could be a trigger for you to get upset, to treat them with more of a judgmental attitude, okay? So we really need to put our feelings aside. You might get upset with it, but you really need to put it aside. All right, how can individuals overcome an addiction? If you quit an addiction, does it mean you overcame it? No, that addiction, even though you quit it, it can still control your life. You think about, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drink. It's constantly in your mind, that not drinking. It still has control. You can constantly be thinking about it, and it can possibly become an addiction again in the future. So we need to be aware of that. We want to change the way they think, change what they think about, and that's why we want to show them that relationship with Christ. Your addiction needs to be replaced. What do you replace your addiction with? And that's really what our materials, which we're going to go through that in a minute, is all about, is building your relationship with Christ. And when we look at our materials, we want to make sure that we're building a relationship. We're not following a set of like these strict rules where you have to complete this book exactly the way that it said. Okay. There's memory verses in there, not a lot, but there's a few to help them change the way they think. But honestly, they're trying to, if they're telling you, let's say they're saying a memory verse to you, if I have to help them with every other word, I'm happy with that. You know what I mean? Like, we do not want to be, letter of the law. Nope, you cannot miss a word on your memory verse. That is not the purpose. Okay. We had a lady that was coming. Actually, she still is coming to our Simple Steps program. She told me years and years ago. She said, "Yeah, I was going to this other program, and I was supposed to write an essay." And she has a hard time reading and writing, so she typed it up, brought it into her group leader. Group leader handed it back and said, "Nope, it says write." She had typed it. So it's things like that. Okay. We want to make sure we're not that way. Okay. We're showing so much grace. It's not even funny. Okay. So much grace. If we have to help them, I even told them, "Hey, if you don't feel comfortable in coming in and saying your memory verse to another person, read it to yourself and then sign it yourself at the bottom." You know, it's not the fact that they did the memory verse, just the fact that they opened their book and they read it a couple times. That's great. That's way more Bible than they probably have ever gotten, okay? Here's the way I promote it in our newcomers class. Because something like a book where you have to do different things and you have to bring it in and say it to another person, that could scare them. That could be like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, that's way too much." Or they're not a good reader, okay? Different things like that, where maybe they can't do that. So how I promote it is you memorize that, and once you say that a few times and you said it to yourself, go ahead and sign it at the bottom. And I say, if you want more accountability, if you really want to take the next step in the program and say, "You know what? I want my group leader to know. I want to say it back to my group leader." Then you bring it into them. You say it to them, and then they'll sign it for you. So you give them the choice, right? Give them the choice whether they want that more accountability. Because the last thing you want is for that one trigger to say, "Nope, I'm not coming back. I can't handle, going and reciting something to another person." You don't want that to be the straw that broke the camel's back, right? You don't want that to be it, why they don't come back. The most important thing is really they're building that relationship. Whether they recite it to you doesn't mean that they're not building that relationship. One-on-one discipleship, okay? This is where we've noticed that we've had a couple other churches that they struggle with some hard addiction, and they just can't read. That's where we think it's really important to maybe do that one-on-one with them. Do the challenges one-on-one. I encourage our group leaders that they take 5 minutes out of their small group to have some challenge time. So even if they do the challenge right there, you know, sign it off, show them that they're working that progress, right? Do it then. And, you know, maybe they will be able to eventually do it at home. Maybe they'll have that desire to do a couple at home, but you're just really showing them what it is to do those challenges. Okay. Next thing, what do I need to run a program? So this is fairly important. Many people wonder, well, I don't have the staff. And staffing is an issue everywhere. You know, even for a church our size, we think about you're always wanting to grow, right? You're always wanting to share the gospel with more, build a new Bible college, you know, where we're thinking, how are we going to staff this thing? It's always an issue. So we're going to talk about really what the minimum is that you would need, okay? First off, facility, not your home, okay? We talked a little bit about that. We don't want you to run your addictions program in your home. We need to make that boundary of they're not coming to your house. Now, they've been coming for years. They're in the church. That's totally different. Having them over for dinner, that's a different thing. But we've had people come and they come to the church program and they've stolen stuff. I don't know how you can steal things from a church. You think that there's got to be an extra, you know, discipline for that. But hey, it's happened. People have stole laptops. So it can happen. So you need to make sure you watch out for that type of thing. And if you bring them to your home, that just opens it up to a whole new thing. Okay. So make sure you make those boundaries. Staffing. Okay. Many times you're starting out small. You don't have a whole lot of the staffing. So here's kind of the minimum of what we think that you need. And my wife and I helped out with an addictions program that was a much smaller church, so we know what it is to have to do multiple things. Really, you need a person in charge of your men's group, okay? So one man, you need a person in charge of your ladies' group. One lady, you need kids, someone to watch kids. You always want that to be an option, okay? And that needs to be a female, okay? A female to watch the kids, or a husband and wife, something like that, okay? And your person that does your men's group can be the leader of the group. Maybe you really need to tighten up your staff a little bit, and the leader is also doing the message. It's a lot. It makes Friday nights long, but that's possible as well. When it comes to, we encourage people to have some kind of a snack or some kind of a meal or something like that. And you're thinking, well, that's another thing for a staff person to do. It is. But honestly, we've seen that fellowship time is super important because they're outside of the program a little bit. Now you've got some refreshments. Maybe you have some chips and dip. Maybe it's a pizza night or something like that. They get to sit down and just have a conversation with you. You know, they start seeing that you're human, right? And that's really what they want is making that connection. So make sure you have something like that, some kind. I tell people that have smaller churches, maybe have a sign up sheet on Sundays, where some of the ladies just do it once a month, where they put something in a crock pot, you know, and they do that and bring that. So it can be something that the church can help out with. All right, so we're going to look at some of the materials. So the focus is the materials are to help build a relationship with Christ. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's literally to help build that relationship. And you guys should have in your packets some examples. Where's mine at here? So you have your workbook one, that green paper there. This is just some of the challenges. We've tried to keep them as simple as we can. In the first one, the beginner one that has, how many is that? 15, 14? 12. Okay. So the very first one is the gospel. And when I do my newcomers class, this is in the packet that I give them. And I would have already spoke. I already gave them their challenge. They come up. And I encourage you to come tomorrow night because you're going to see this all in play tomorrow night at 7. So you'll see exactly how I word things, how I invite people to come to the newcomers class. So it's something very simple and very quick. After we do announcements, we do some awards. And what I say is, okay, everybody is dismissed to your groups. If you're new here tonight, go ahead and come on up front. We're going to have a short newcomers class, and then we're going to get you into a group as well. Okay, there's a reason I say we're going to get you into a group as well, because if they've gone to an NA or an AA, they're already used to the group. They're looking for that thing that they're used to. They're looking for that small group. So I let them know, hey, short newcomers class, we'll get you into a group as well. Okay, and then when I go into this, they would have just heard the gospel, right? I would have gave them their challenge. They just heard the gospel. So I skip achievement one. I don't even go through it. Okay. I go straight into achievement two and say, and just as an example, say, let's look at an example in the book. So achievement two, you would memorize that verse. Okay. So here's the reason that I skip it. Okay. I want that challenge number one to be gone through in their small group with their leader. Okay. Because then they can actually sit down. Because if you have 3-4 people in your newcomers class, how are you going to really focus on that, sharing the gospel on that strictly one-on-one? Okay. So when they go to their, small group, it's just a natural thing when they say, okay, everybody, we're going to give some time to work on their challenges. And then the group leader or assistant knows, okay, it's my job to go to that new person. Hey, I'll help you out with your challenge. Let's go ahead and open up, see where you're at. Okay. Oh, you're at achievement number one. Let's go through this. Let's go through this together. So they're able to do the gospel one-on-one. Okay. And that gives them, that opportunity to go one-on-one, not in a group setting. And we find that to be a little better. To be more effective when they can really get them alone. I have had it to where and I'm not saying, look, the more times you hear the gospel, great. But in that setting where I have 3 or 4 people, I've had it to where one person did not agree and all the other ones follow because of that one person. Okay. So we want it to be a strictly one-on-one for that actual, you know, that really that decision making, right? I would encourage you to do it that way. If you can't, it doesn't work that way, obviously, share the gospel either way. But we find that that is the most effective. So in here, you also have, one day at a time journal, just an example of what it is to really, if you open it up, you've got your daily proverb, your Bible study, your daily gratitude, what you give thanks for, requests, all those different type of things. And this can be a lot for them as well, okay? This is another thing I say too. When I give them their beginner handbook, I make sure that they know that this is not something that they have to do to come to the program, okay? Because this right here, they think, oh man, I've got homework. This is crazy. This is a lot of work. We want them to do it, yes, but we're not forcing them to do it, okay? Really what I say is, hey, if you set this on your bedside table, and maybe you don't touch it for a couple weeks or a month, but when you find yourself tempted, when you find yourself in that situation, oh man, I really want to use, sometimes you just need to get your mind off of it. And that's where you could do a challenge. Do a challenge, and hopefully that will get your mind past that temptation. That's kind of what I say in the newcomers class, to make sure that they know that they don't have to do it to come to the program, okay? We want them to come. We want them to do the books, but we don't want to force it. We don't want to force it. We want it to be their decision. Also, materials in here you have are this green, the Simple Steps Addiction Recovery. This is just a bulletin, kind of shows what it is for the night. These we do print off for you, the backs, and then the fronts. You make that on your own. You put your own information in there, and you can order that through us, or you can make your own, whichever you feel more comfortable with. You do have a talk time book in here. This is more of an advanced class. So when people come to Wednesday night, it's kind of an advanced Simple Steps program. Again, it's not something that you have to do or that they have to do, but we want to make those available, make it as an option for you guys and them. If you see, man, this person's really growing, I think I want to do more of a one-on-one discipleship program with them, and that's where that can come into play. All right, willingness to help whenever and wherever needed. Look, when you start a program, you might be that person at the front door. You might be the person bringing the donuts or the cookies, the whatever it is, and you might have to go right into group, you know, and actually run a group. And those are the things that we need to be willing to do, whatever, willing to step up and do whatever. That's just on a Friday night. And then you have the other weeknights when they call and say, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do. My wife just ran out the door. We got in a fight and I want to do some stupid, you know, those type of things where like, okay, my wife could tell you, I have literally been in bed ready to fall asleep and you get the phone call. And you know what? I get out of bed and I say, hey, I'll be over there. Give me 10 minutes. I'll be over there. We'll go get a piece of pie or something like that just to get their mind off of it. Okay. And help them out. It's not the easiest. It does make your schedule a little bit harder, but you know what? For me, it's all worth it. And it's funny, some of the people that have been coming still remember, still bring it up years later. Remember when that night I was having a really bad time and you came and you took me out, you found me. Things like that, okay? I had one guy who was, he was clean for a while and had a really bad night, and he ended up, he was drunk walking down the street, and he thought that his drug dealer, and this is all, and I'm telling you this, it's different, but this stuff happens, okay? He thought his drug dealer had called me and told him that he was using. That's what he said. And he was on his way, no joke, he was on his way to burn his drug dealer's house down. Because you should not be a tattletale, right? So that's what he's thinking. And this is going to happen, you know? So what did I do? I got in my car and I went to see if I could find him. And you know what? I did. I found him on a road, found him walking down the road. And talked to him for a while and settled everything down. Those are the type of things that you're going to have to do. And all I could do is after I was all done and I'm driving home is literally just smile. Like, I have no idea what just happened, but it happened. You know, like you don't know. You have no idea really of what's going to happen, but it happens. But you know what? That person today, still here, still coming, and still brings it up. Man, I'm so glad that you came and found me that night. You know, I've never had anybody do that for me. It's things like that, that you're showing them that you care. All right. Overview of the night. We're going to fly through this. Overview of the night. You have a short Simple Steps video. And why I love these videos is I don't go up and say anything beforehand. We just push play. Play, start the video. Because you know what everybody else is doing when they come in? They're talking, chatting, you know, doing whatever. And the video kind of calms everybody down. Everybody kind of goes to their seat and gets ready for the night. After the video, the director would go up. They give a quick welcome. They talk about the theme verse. It's also in the bulletin. You have a short prayer, just real short. Thank God for the night, that type of thing. Testimony time. Open it up for some testimonies, stories of victory. These sometimes can get out of hand, okay? Not going to lie. Someone can take that mic and then there's all different types of things they could talk about. It's going to happen. You just kind of roll with it, right? You just roll with it. And there's only been one time over the last, 5, 6 years since I've been running this one. There's only been one time that I've had to cut somebody off. And that's it. So that's not bad. 5 years, only had to cut one person off. That's because it just got really, really political. And I try to keep political, try to keep that out. Try to keep it all out, because you're going to have somebody that walks in that sits down and they don't believe the same way that you believe politically. And if you go and say something, you just turn them off. They're done, you know, and that's not what's important. So testimony time, story of victory, your nightly challenge. So we go straight into the nightly challenge. And this, we do this for a couple reasons. Really, we want to give the leaders who are sitting in the room something to maybe challenge their people with when they get into the small group. Hey, how can we apply that challenge to our lives? Things like that. We used to do it at the end, but we really wanted to give those group leaders something more, something a little bit more. Challenge the people instead of saying, walking in and go, well, what'd you do this week? Or how was your week? Is something like that where it can just go on and they're complaining. Ladies are complaining about their husbands. Husbands are complaining about their jobs, something like that. So you ask a question in the group. How can we apply that to our life? And then they answer more of that than getting into their all of those other problems that you could be listening to all night long. And we try to keep these nice and short, right? Nice and short. I would say 20 minutes max. Mine are usually 15 minutes, because honestly, they're only hearing a sentence or two. You know, that's all they're going to remember, is that one thing that, perked their interest. Oh yeah. And that's it. That's it. So don't make it long. And I'm talking 15, 20 minutes, including the gospel. Make it nice and short. So nightly challenge, then you give your gospel, announcements and awards, newcomers class, and then you go into your small groups. I would say the small groups is really what's important, because that allows them to open up a little bit. There's people that are coming to our program that we don't know what they're struggling with, and that's okay. We don't need to know what they're struggling with. But the small groups, they really start, they open up, yeah, and that's where you can open up to them a little bit too and be more personable, okay? And that's super important. Fellowship time after, that's another important one. Just give them that, give them you outside of being in charge of a small group. Just talk to them. Be that person there to talk to. All right, how do I advertise? Promote in your church. That's a big one. You want to get your church excited about it. You're going to need people. What we do is we try to not have everybody come every week. Obviously, there's some that need to come every week, but we open it up in our church and say, hey, anybody willing to help us once a month? You know, something like that. Obviously, your leaders, your assistant leaders, it's a little different. You need more of a commitment from them, but promote it in your church. Road sign or banner, word of mouth, other community outreach programs. And I talked about this a little bit earlier, but get to know your court system, your judges, your social workers, police stations, fire departments, Christian therapists, recovery programs, etc. So these are all things that you can outreach. Look, police stations and fire halls are great, because they run into people all the time that are dealing with addiction.